text. Let's turn to Romans chapter 1, verse 21. And for those of you that know your Bible, you're going to go, no, that's not a Christmas text. And what I really felt led to do at the beginning for this first service, where we're going to cover a little bit more, is that, you know, let's say that some people would say 1 to 2 billion people in the world are going to be observing Christmas one way or another here this year. And what that means is there's 1 to 2 billion people that know about Jesus. They know that he came. They know that he was born in Bethlehem, and the shepherds came and all that happened. So does that mean that we should believe that there's going to be 2 billion people that are alive today that are going to be in heaven? Because there's a difference between knowing about Jesus and knowing Jesus. And what I want to emphasize is that the Bible makes it perfectly clear. We can see what happened in Jesus' day. Everybody knew Jesus in a really better way than we ever can. I mean, as far as the human form, scribes and Pharisees knew him. His disciples knew him. But even his disciples didn't really know him until later. And so the title of the service is Jesus. Do you know about him or do you know him? And my emphasis today is we need to let it sink in from the Word of God that this Jesus, we want to know him. It's kind of like somebody comes up and talks to you about, let's say, your father, and they don't know that he's your father. And they go, hey, I ran into this guy, and, you know, we were, you know, working together and stuff, and hey, I want to tell you about him. And, so do you know him? Yeah, I know this guy. And he goes, well, I know him because he's my father. And so that's a difference. Do you know? And you can tell in talking to people, they can be religious, they can be Christian, and you realize, but they're really not acting like they know Jesus. And what we want to do is all of us have that deep affection, love for Jesus. And so we're Romans chapter 1, verse 1. We see, because although they, the Gentiles, knew, and the Greek word there is gnosko, they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. And so gnosko means prolonged form of a primary verb, to know. And absolutely, but not perfectly absolutely. And so let's turn to Matthew chapter 11, verse 25, because we'll see the difference communicated. Greek is a better language than English because it has different words for know. It ramps up the meaning of know. I can know that person, or I can really know that person, which is epignosko. Advanced knowledge, a special participation. Epi means upon, gnosko. So it's a knowledge that actually comes upon you. Jesus in Acts chapter 1, he told his disciples, he goes, I want you to go into Jerusalem and wait for the Holy Spirit to come upon you. Epi. And it'll come upon you and you will be my witnesses throughout the world. And so it's a knowledge that we want to come upon us in a powerful spiritual way, that we go from just knowing about Jesus to knowing Jesus, and help our friends to go from knowing about Jesus to knowing Jesus. So in Matthew 11:25, I think this is one of the most important verses in the Bible, actually, to understand what it takes to be saved. 11:25, it says, at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the prudent and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. Let's really, really understand this. Jesus is living at a time where most of the people they can't get him. They can't understand. They won't listen to him. They won't believe what he tells them. They won't believe the prophets. They won't believe anything. And he's saying, Father, I thank you that you've blinded them because they're proud. You've chosen to blind the proud. And then he goes on to say, but then you've revealed it to babes. And what are babes? And he said at one time, suffer the little children to come to me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. And he said, unless you become like a little child, you will in no wise inherit the kingdom of heaven. We have to go from being prideful adults to being like a child to have humility, to know that we need a parent, in this case, God. We need God to rule over our lives. We need Jesus to rule over our lives. Unless we become like that and turn away from our pride, God won't let us see Jesus. So in other words, one way to get the Holy Spirit to have upon you the knowledge of who Jesus is, the first step is God has to give you that, and he gives it to you because you became humble. And that's what we share with people. You know, for those of you that most of you are saved in here, that's what really happened to you. You can look back and said, I realized I was a sinner. I got humble. I cried out to God. I said, God, save me. While the rest of the world is saying, I'm okay. I'm going to take my shot with God when I die and everything else. So they have this pride. So we want to encourage people, lay down your pride so you can have an experience to know God. And then verse 27 of Matthew 11, all things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows, epigenosko, so this is no one knows the Son except the Father. So the triune God knows itself, you know. Nobody epigenosko the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know epigenosko the Father except the Son and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Now the Calvinists say that God just capriciously decides who he wants to reveal himself to. But Jesus had already said in the previous verse that he chooses to reveal himself to the humble, to the people that become like babes. And he says then, you know, and then he desires to reveal it to humble people because, you know, prideful people aren't going to make it up into heaven. Why? Because there was a prideful angel once in heaven. What happened there? It was Satan, and he ruined the place. So we are all, everybody that gets into heaven is they became humble before. We have our free will. We either get humble before God and say, man, you're going to let me in. I'm going to serve you, worship you, because you so love me that you gave your life for me. So if you want to have epigenosko, so you could tell people, well, how's your walk with Jesus? I'm working on epigenosko. I'm working on a deeper knowledge of knowing God. How do we get that? By being more humble and more aware of who he is. Let's turn to Luke 24:30. Still sticking on the background to what we're going to get into in the true Christmas story, but just to show that even his disciples did not truly know him, because they thought Jesus was coming to get rid of the Romans. When instead the Romans killed Jesus, his own disciples that had spent, I mean, these two men on the road to Emmaus, they might have spent years with him. They might have spent the 3 years of ministry with him. And they're bummed. They're like, he died. Our plans for him just fell through. And so they didn't really know Jesus. Now it came to pass, the resurrected Jesus now is coming up to these two men on the road to Emmaus who are walking along. Hey, man, our plans just died. Jesus is dead. We're hearing that people said the tomb was empty. And the women are saying that maybe they saw him, but you know, they're discouraged, and Jesus comes up to them, preaches to them that the Messiah must suffer first. You didn't read the prophecies, guys. You shouldn't have been thinking that I came to kill the Romans. I came to suffer and die for the sins of the world. And on Christmas, it's good to talk about the crucifixion. It's good to talk about Christmas and resurrection, because why did Jesus come? He came to die. That was his whole mission. I'm coming to live a perfect life, to not have to die, to not have to suffer the effects of sin, take the sins of the world upon myself so that I can die on their behalf and give them my righteousness. That was the rescue mission. He came to rescue us. And so he sat at the table with them after he's told them the scriptures, showed them that they were not understanding the scriptures properly. And then he took bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they knew epigenosko him. So what was the difference? The difference is that Jesus squared them away on scripture. He said, don't you know you've been missing some stuff here? There's a lot of people that are deceived. They think the Bible's not true or this or that. And what we can do is square them away and say, don't you understand? Christianity really is real. I mean, the people rolled it up in a silver towel and put it on their neck and died in 200 AD, and they were worshiping Jesus as God. They didn't make this up. And so they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. That would have been another really good reason to believe that Jesus was God in their midst. You're going to really epigenosko Jesus when you see that he just leaves the physical realm and goes wherever he's going. And they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? So let's open the scriptures, turning to Luke chapter 1, verse 26. You know, what's really difficult with the Christian walk is what we know the scripture says, what we gnosko, what the scripture says, hasn't turned into epigenosko in our life and everything. To really know it, to bury down and really die to myself on that, Lord, do you really mean die to yourself? Yes, it means die to yourself. Let it go on the things of sin, the temptations of the world and everything. So we are going to go to Luke chapter 1, verse 26. This is the creator of the universe leaving heaven to come to earth, conceived in the womb of a virgin. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And so let's try and understand this in a deeper way than it's normally thought about. Gabriel was sent by God. Who's Gabriel? Well, if you look at Daniel chapter 8 and 9 and here, he's some kind of an archangel, special angel, his mission was to reveal details about the coming of the Messiah. In Daniel chapter 9, Gabriel told Daniel how long it was going to be from the commandment to go and restore and rebuild Jerusalem after the destruction of Jerusalem by Babylon, and then the Jews were sent back under the Persians. And he goes, from the time the command is given by the Persians to go and rebuild Jerusalem until the coming of the Messiah is 483 years, broken up in sevens. And so Gabriel was there to give the mission and the prophecy of when it's going to be. By the way, the coming of Jesus is about 483 years after the command to go and restore and rebuild Jerusalem. Some people put it at the day he's walking into Jerusalem on a donkey, or, you know, riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, fulfilling prophecy. And so that's who Gabriel was. And Nazareth was a town in relatively northern Israel, Galilee area, 93 miles away from Bethlehem. And just to say this before we get into what really happens, if Mary conceives and gives and carries and gives birth to Jesus in Nazareth, where she was living, then we're not here talking about Jesus today. We're not talking about the Bible, because the Bible's not true. Because there was a prophecy that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. In fact, there's dozens of requirements that the Messiah had to fulfill from Old Testament scriptures to be able to be, yes, checkmark. And if these are all prophecies of God, the all-knowing, all-powerful God who stands outside of time, if that one wasn't fulfilled, that one wasn't fulfilled, then what happens? We can't trust the Bible. We can't trust the God who breathed the words in. And so somehow this family up in Nazareth has to get down to Bethlehem. And 93 miles away. It says, now in the sixth month, Galilee named Nazareth, verse 27, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph. And then it says, of the house of David. Is that important? If he's born just to the house of Judah, because David was of the tribe of Judah, but if Joseph is of another family that's not a descendant of David within Judah, and then we're not talking about Jesus. Because he had to be of the tribe of Judah. He had to be of the house of David. He had to be in the line of Solomon, which is what he was. And we covered this in detail. We spent the whole study on Wednesday just about on the miracles of the lineage of Joseph that's in the first chapter of Matthew. We don't have time to get into details. Miracles. Three times the descendant of Solomon to keep the promise of God that Solomon, you're never going to lose a man to sit on the throne, and really, and based on another prophecy, until the Messiah comes. Three times it got down to just one kid. That kid dies, the dynasty of Solomon is over, we're packing up our Bibles and we're going home. And so Joseph had to be the adoptive father of Jesus to have a right to the throne, for Jesus to have the right to the throne of being the king of the Jews. And we covered that on Wednesday, and you can get it in our Matthew 1 study from this last Wednesday. So, and that she's betrothed to him. And it would actually, we covered in Wednesday, that really the only way that all the prophecies can be fulfilled is if he is of the lineage of Solomon, David and Solomon, and she has to have a virgin conception, which is what happens. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you," verse 28, "is with you, blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest." Who's the highest? In a Jewish term, he'll be called the Son of the Highest. That's God. He's going to be called the Son of God. "And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David," through Solomon, "and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Now, can you imagine what Mary would have been thinking with him telling her that? I mean, try and put yourself in her shoes. She knows what it takes to get pregnant. And all of a sudden, I'm going to have a child. You're telling me I'm going to have a child. And it's going to be called the Son of the Highest. I mean, Joseph's a good man, but I mean, he's not the highest. What are you talking about? And then explaining you're going to be conceived. How can this be? Verse 34. How can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the powers of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One who is to be born to you will be called the Son of God." And said that you're supposed to call his name Jesus. And she knows that the terminology in the Greek and the Hebrew, if it was in Hebrew, is that Yeshua, it's Jesus. It's like God's salvation. You, Mary, are going to be conceived as a virgin. God is going to come inside you and fertilize an egg. And your son is therefore going to be the Son of God. God's going to play a part in you miraculously conceiving. How hard is that for the creator of the universe to do? I mean, think about this. It's never happened before. Hasn't happened since. But I mean, think of just even scientifically what that entails, to just breathe the spark of life into a virgin's womb, to make it so that Jesus would be the Son of God, which is why they killed him, is because he claimed to be the Son of God. And the Bible said that prophesied we're going to see the prophecies that the Bible said it's going to happen. And then because they didn't believe the prophecies, they didn't have epigenosko. Because if they would have had epigenosko, they go, of course, a virgin will conceive and give birth to a child. He will be called Almighty God, Counselor, Prince of Peace. Oh, no problem, Jesus, you claim all these things because you are all these things. We're there with you and we're going to worship you along with the rest of the people. They didn't do that because they were blinded by pride. And God wouldn't let them see. Jesus means God of salvation. And God is going to tell Joseph the same thing by an angelic visitation, because he's going to have a hard time. Would people have had a hard time believing Mary? I mean, the Bible doesn't tell exactly how she explained it to the family. You know, "Mary, what's wrong with you? I kind of got visited by an angel today." What did he tell you? That God himself is going to come inside of me in a miraculous, just, you know, put a child in my womb. Yeah, right. We're going to keep closer eye on you around the house. And 3 months later, she starts to show. Told you so. Oh, no, Mary. you snuck out. What did you do? This is your cover story. I mean, can you imagine? It would have been impossible unless they had the ability to know, wow, that same angel told Daniel 483 years, we're closed. People have been really studying this. They know that we should be looking for the Messiah. And Isaiah says that a virgin's going to conceive, and here you have been chosen to be the one to fulfill. They would have had a hard time believing, but they, in a way, they should have. Why? They should have because of the prophetic scriptures. They should have. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 7, verse 11. Without prophecy, without God having all these dozens of prophecies about the Messiah, it would have been impossible for people to know. So prophecy is what it lets us go from knowing to really knowing that these things are the truth. And so the background to Isaiah 7:11 is that there was a king of Judah, a descendant of the house of David, descendant of Solomon, because you had to be a descendant of Solomon to be royal, to be king. You had to be not only of the family of David, but you had to be of the royal line through Solomon. And this king's name was Ahaz. He was a wicked king. And God had raised up opposition to him because of his wickedness. And what the opposition ended up turning into is that the king of Israel, because now Israel's divided, civil war divided. There was a king of Israel, and Ahaz was the king of Judah. And so the king of Israel, along with the king of Syria, had an alliance and said, let's get rid of Ahaz. Let's go join our forces, break down the wall of Jerusalem, and then let's breach the wall, get rid of Ahaz, and stick our own king in there. Well, the king that he was planning on putting in, best we can tell, because the name of the guy sounded Syrian, the king would have been the son of a Syrian name. So it seems like they were trying to put in a Syrian king. Now, if they accomplish that, the promises to the Davidic covenant to David, the covenant that God made with Solomon, is not going to happen. It's now over. And there's the dynasty of Solomon just got wiped out at Ahaz. I don't know how much Ahaz was worried about the promises of God being broken, but what he was really worried about is he would die. And he's realizing, I can't fight these two kings. And so what's going to happen to me? And what's going to happen to the nation? And as he's thinking that, and God is making a promises to him, he says in Isaiah chapter 7:11, ask a sign yourself from the Lord your God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. Ask for some sign. I'm promising you that I'm going to keep my covenant to David and Solomon. You are not going to be wiped out. You are not going to lose the throne. Your descendants are going to keep going all the way to Messiah, is really what the promises were. There has to be a Messiah through the Davidic line through Solomon. And so it's not going to happen. Don't worry about it. So ask a sign, anything. You know, turn the moon into cheese, whatever he would have said. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, nor will I test the Lord. That was one of his, you know, brilliant points in life because he was such a wicked guy. Then he said, hear now, O house of David. This is God speaking. Is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will you weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, meaning God with us. So that's the background to that verse. And he says, here's a sign. You think it's too hard for me to get rid of these two kings so that they're not going to breach Jerusalem's wall and take you out, which God did get rid of them. I'm going to show you a sign. I'm promising you the Messiah is going to come, and the way he comes is by a virgin birth. That's hard to do. But it's going to happen. So that's really the context. So let's turn to John chapter 8, verse 40. And then we're coming back to Isaiah chapter 9. So keep your finger in Isaiah too. And once again, we covered the importance of the lineage of Jesus in Matthew 1, which is so important for this. So the religious leaders of Jesus' day should have epignosko, known and expected, based on this prophecy from Isaiah 700 years before, the Messiah is going to come and he's going to be born of a virgin. And God's saying his name will be Emmanuel, meaning God with us. Again, why did they kill Jesus? Because you, being a man, declared yourself to be God. What's the problem with that? No problem with that. God said he's going to be God with us. And that's what we're going to, John chapter 8, verse 40. But they refused to listen to him because they were prideful, they were blinded, they couldn't know the scriptures. This is John chapter 8, verse 40. And the scribes and Pharisees are wanting to kill him all the time. And Jesus says, but now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father. Who are the deeds of their father? I mean, who's their father? Satan, he told him that in, you know, other verse, earlier verse. You do your deeds of your father. Satan. We either have God as our father through Jesus Christ, through faith in Jesus, or our father is Satan. People don't realize that. But it's just like there's heaven or hell. There's either your servant, Bob Dylan, you know, scored on this. You're either serving the devil or you're serving the Lord. And if you're serving the Lord, it's through Jesus. It's through faith in Jesus. Otherwise, you have been deceived by the devil. And that's what Jesus was saying. Then they said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one Father, God. So what are they basically saying? Oh, we know your little cover story. We know your story that Mary, your mother, said that you were born of conceived in the womb by God, but we don't believe it. Your mother, she ran off and she was born, you know, you were born in fornication. You're a sinner. We shouldn't even be listening. We should crucify you. That's really what they're saying. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Which ties into Isaiah. Which ties into Psalm 2, which Isaiah, the virgin birth. He's the one that sent me by pouring God the Son, who existed in the beginning with the Father and created the heavens and the earth and everything that's in it, because Jesus was the Word of God that breathed it all into existence, according to John 1, Hebrews 1, Colossians 1. He is the Creator. He is God. And the Father and I decided to put me into a human body so that we could communicate with man, you know. So Isaiah 9:6, going back there, but we're going to go back to John chapter 10 when you get done there. So keep your finger in John. Don't run out of fingers. Another prophecy in Isaiah. Just another couple chapters past the virgin birth. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God. Oh, so Mighty God. So there's only one Mighty God, you know, to the Jew. The Mighty God is up in heaven. But then it says, but then there's going to be a child that's born. And the child that's born is going to be called, according to the prophet Isaiah, inspired by God to write this, is going to be called Mighty God. What does that mean? Jesus is God. Mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forever, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Is that a promise to this day? Absolutely. And what does it require for us to believe, epigenosko, to know this to be true? What does it take for us to know this to be true? The resurrection of Jesus. Because none of that stuff at the end can be fulfilled if he stayed in the grave. And so, and that requires that his disciples, when they saw him being crucified to fulfill the prophecies of suffering and dying for our sins, instead of huddling in a room, what do we do now? Or walking on the road to Emmaus, man, our world is shattered. They should have said, well, next thing is 3 days later he rises, because that's what he told us, but we didn't epigenoso when I listened to it. And that's what the scriptures require, is for him to raise again for part two, which is to come and set up his kingdom. And like we were saying in announcement time, the preterists are deceived into thinking that God through the church is creating this kingdom. What does it say here? It says he is going to establish his kingdom. Not through working through imperfect human beings. He's going to come and he's going to set up his kingdom, and the scriptures are very clear about that. But people don't want him. Epigenosko, what the word of God says. Chapter 10, verse 32 of John. Everybody in Jesus' day should have known these prophecies of 700 years previous in Isaiah, which they studied Isaiah. The scribes and Pharisees knew these verses. Not epi, just gnosko. They knew that they existed. They couldn't let it be transferred for them to know and believe and be upon them, to surrender their pride and their arrogance, to just believe what the prophets had said. John 10:32. Jesus answered them, "Many good works I have shown you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me?" The Jews answered him, saying, "For a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, and because you, being a man, make yourself God." Because they didn't know. Because they wouldn't believe the scriptures they actually had read. Scriptures they had read in their synagogues, that they would teach the people when they would go to the synagogues, when they open up the scroll of Isaiah, a very popular scroll. In fact, in the Dead Sea Scrolls, Daniel and Isaiah, full books of Daniel and Isaiah, because they were so used, because they're so prophetic to the coming Messiah, they read them, but they don't know it. And today, 2 billion people in the world are going to be all about Jesus, all about 2,000 years ago, Jesus came, all about the wise men, all about this and that. And most of those billions of people are going to die and be separated from God forever because they didn't really know who he is. Didn't really know to put their faith and trust in him as their Savior. Turn to Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. You know, and it must have been tough for Mary. Isn't it good to know that God understands us? Mary, you know, again, we can only speculate, but how am I going to break this to Joseph, God? He's not going to, my parents aren't going to believe me. Joseph's not going to believe me. How can I do this? Well, God understands that, so he sends an angel to go talk to him. And it says, now the birth of Jesus, meaning God's salvation, to emphasize the point, Christ. Now the birth of Jesus Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, promised in Isaiah and Daniel and every place else, was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed, engaged to Joseph, before they came together, she's still a virgin, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. She had a baby growing in her womb, never knew a man. And then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. Now, being a just man, he was a man of the law. He wanted to be an obedient to God. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the book of the law. He wanted to obey God. He was a man who wanted to obey God. What does it require if a woman is betrothed to a man and she goes off with another man and gets pregnant and gets found out by being pregnant? What's the requirement according to the law? That she's to be stoned. So he was sitting there going, and he probably realizes that she's a just woman. This is hard to believe, but God, it doesn't matter. Nobody's going to believe any story, even if she's already told him. They're not going to believe this, except I don't think that she had told him yet. And so, what am I going to do? And so not wanting to actually follow through with it, you know, hey, go someplace and go have the baby. We're gonna hide this so that the law doesn't have to be brought to bear. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream saying, Joseph, son of David, lineage of David Solomon, do not be afraid to take you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. This is the mission of Jesus. Jesus is coming to save. And that's why you need to call him that. Now let's say Joseph then goes, Mary, this is what this angel told me. Well, that's the same name that the Gabriel, we don't know if it was Gabriel for both of them, but that's the same name the angel told me. And would Joseph have then been able to say, this is God? Yeah. And so God is good to us. He lets us know things so that we can really truly trust in him. But you can only imagine how difficult it was. And imagine Mary later on, as we saw from the scripture, she would have been shunned. You were a woman of fornication. You had this child that now is terrorizing the country and we need to get rid of him. And just think of all that when she's at the cross. But the agony she would have felt as a mother would have been tempered by the fact that all the prophecies were saying he's going to die to save people from their sins. Matthew 1:22. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, what we just read in Isaiah, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Let's turn to Luke chapter 2, verse 1. Now, the devil Satan inspires, you know, great scholars of the Bible to say, well, you know, in the Hebrew, Isaiah uses a word in the Hebrew that could mean young girl or virgin. How much of a sign would it have been to Ahaz when God says, ask any sign, I'll turn the moon to cheese. Well, let me give you a sign. A young girl is going to give birth. Is that much of a sign? How about if it's a virgin will give birth? Is that a sign? And the Old Testament translators of the Hebrew before Jesus, the translators of the Hebrew from Hebrew to Greek, used the Greek word that clearly means and can only mean virgin. So, again, people say, oh no, that virgin verse, you know, that prophecy, Kevin, that doesn't mean anything. It could have been a young girl. Because they don't understand that they don't understand the history of it, even why Ahaz is being told this. They don't want to know. They don't want to investigate the truth. They want to live a lie. So now Mary is close to 9 months pregnant. And, I mean, she is probably right at 9 months. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem because he was of the house of the lineage of David to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. Now let's dig deep in this. So Caesar just decided, he wakes up one day and he goes, you know what? I think I'll count everybody in the Roman Empire. I'm just going to do that. Okay, well, it's coming to be winter. Some people don't think Jesus was born in winter. I do. Don't have time to get into it, but I really do. I think the Bible makes it clear that he was born in the winter. And he just decides to do that. His generals just said, it's winter. People are going to have a hard time hiking. You know, the Jews are going to have a hard time hiking to their different places. Talk to somebody who cares. I don't care. And so then Joseph gets the word and Mary get the word. And they have to get down 95 miles or thereabouts. They have to get down to Bethlehem. And she's 9 months pregnant. Now, how many of you guys, if your wife was close to 9 months pregnant, and you said, we're going to go take a 100-mile hike. And the only We're going to go by car? No. You know, best I can do is donkey today. It still would not be something you'd want to do. But what do you think the alternative was? Hey, Romans, look, my wife's 9 months pregnant, and I'm not going to do what Caesar says. How's that work in the Roman days? Okay, we're going to do this or they'll kill us. And that's it really, there's a reason why they called Romans' rule Pax Romana. You know, Pax, power of the sword, peace through the sword. So they went, and think of the miracle of this. God puts that in his mind, because you know what? If they don't go to Bethlehem and they have this conceived in the virgin's womb child that becomes Jesus, if he's not born in Bethlehem, another prophecy does not come true, and we're not here talking about it. Because the Bible's not true. And so let's go to Micah chapter 5, verse 2. Now, we're not going to cover the wise men, but when they came, but Herod got hit when they said, oh, we're looking for the Messiah. We know the Messiah was born, according to a prophecy in the book of Numbers that says that his star will appear, and then now that star appeared and somehow communicated that this is the Messiah is born in Israel. And so let's go to Jerusalem and say, hey, where's this Messiah that you guys are waiting for? And Herod the Great, who is demoniac, he says, he grabs the scribes and Pharisees and says, hey, you know, how do we know where the Messiah is going to be born? They went to this verse. They say, he's going to be born in Bethlehem. And so then Herod has everybody under 2 years old, because it's probably 2 years after Jesus has been born that this happens. And he sends all the 2 years and under to be slaughtered. That's how much everybody knew that the prophecies of the Bible are going to come true. But God had warned Joseph and Mary, and they left before the slaughter happened. But you, Bethlehem, this is what it says in Micah 5:2. But you, Bethlehem Ephrath, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. Who did the Jews consider the one that would be the ruler of Israel? The Messiah. The Messiah is going to be born in Bethlehem. Going to Luke chapter 2, verse 6. Prophecy. Again, how do we know? Prophecy. So it was, Luke 2, verse 6. So it was, while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Here's some other interesting facts that we spent a whole study on. What does the name Bethlehem mean? House of bread. What did Jesus say? I'm the bread of life. What were the shepherds that were there that night? What were they raising in Bethlehem? Sheep. But what kind of sheep? We know historically that the Passover sheep were specifically raised in Bethlehem area. The Passover sheep had to be blemishless lambs. These shepherds made sure these lambs don't get hurt. They are born without any blemish, because you have to have a blemishless lamb. When was Jesus crucified? On Passover. They're remembering the death passed over. The Jews are remembering death passed over them in the Egyptian plagues, because they had the blood of the lamb. Jesus laid in a manger. What's a manger? A feeding trough for sheep. What does he call those sheep? All these crazy coincidences. Luke 2:8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock, Passover lambs, by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. Are we glad that Jesus came for all people, not just the Jews? Because how many of you are Jews here by blood? So we can all be glad, probably all of us here, Gentiles, we're glad that he came for everybody. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior. You know what Isaiah 43:11 says? Isaiah 43:11, God is speaking, and he says, there is no other Savior but me. So, how can these angels be saying Jesus is a Savior when Isaiah says that only God is a Savior? Because the angels knew that Jesus was God in flesh. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in the swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made gnosko to us. So here's the thing. Wow. We just got told by God something out of the Word that we had to go search out this Jesus. And so what did they do? They went to go draw closer to the story so they could go to epigenosko. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which they were told by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. We'll close with John 12:27. Now think about this. Can you imagine what should have been known? They made widely known. So when Jesus does come on the scene 30 years later for his ministry, and people are questioning why he's come, there should have been hundreds of people that knew these events. They knew, but they didn't know these events to make it clear to everybody that was around. And here we are in America. Let's just boil it down instead of 2 billion. 350 people, million people in America. And what's going to be the biggest thing in most of those houses on Wednesday? Huh? Santa Claus. And yet they know that it's supposed to be about this Jesus. That, yeah, he was born, people say he resurrected from the grave and all this stuff, but let's make it so that, you know, Amazon gets better profits and make it all about Santa Claus. And see how the devil works. He just deceives people into all this other stuff. And I want to emphasize, this is John 12:27, Jesus speaking, and I want to emphasize we're celebrating Christmas, but we should be thinking death, resurrection. Now my soul is troubled, Jesus said, because he's really close to knowing he's going to the cross. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I came to this hour. I came for this. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Therefore, the people who stood by heard it and said that it had thundered. Others said an angel has spoken to them. But how could they think an angel spoke to him? He says, Father, because he was his father. Father, glorify your name. And they hear, I have glorified, now glorify. Oh, it must have been an angel. No, it was God. It's the Father because he's the Son of God. And they should have known that. Jesus answered and said, this voice did not come because of me, but for your sake, to try and help you get to epigenosis. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world, Satan, will be cast out. And if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself. This he said, signifying by what death he would die. And still most of the people, even that heard that, it should have silenced all the people that are getting ready to crucify him. It should have put them all down. A voice from heaven came. But it was for this purpose that he came. I really kind of like the song, Mary, Did You Know? Did Mary know? Did Mary epigenosko? Did she know that the Son could walk on water? Yeah. Would save our sons and daughters? Yeah. Come to make her and us new? Yeah. Because she said, you know, when Jesus was conceived in the womb, this is God my Savior, you know, that this is my Savior. Jesus delivered her from sin and death, would give sight to the blind, calm a storm with his hand, walk on where the angels trod. Did she know that Jesus would walk on water? No problem. He manifested himself as God by doing things that only God could do. Walking on water, no problem. Would save our sons and daughters. Did you know that he, yeah, the angel told me. His name's going to be Jesus. He's going to save people from their sins. I knew that. Came to make her new. Yeah, I'm going to be born again. I'm going to have a new life. I'm going to have an eternal body. I'm going to resurrect from the grave. Jesus delivered her from sin. Yes, I know that. Would give sight to the blind man. Yeah, he would do it. Yeah, my son would do that to demonstrate that he's God for the unbelievers that are around. Never before happened in history that a man born blind was given his sight. Calmed the storm with his hand. No problem. He created the heavens and the earth. Walked where angels trod. That's where he came from. When she kissed her little baby, I'm going to change it. She was kissing the Son of God. She wasn't kissing God. She was kissing the Son of God. That the blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak the praises of the Lamb. Jesus is the Lord of all creation. That Jesus was heaven's perfect Lamb, born in Bethlehem, and is the great I Am, you know, which is the great I Am, the word that God the Father said to Moses when Moses says, okay, you're telling me to go back to Egypt. What do I tell them? They're not going to believe me. I'm going to deliver them out of Egypt. And God said, tell them I am who I am. And that was Jesus. It goes on there. Did Mary know? Did Mary epigenoso? The answer is yes, because she knew. And we can know. Amen? And so I hope everybody here knows. If you don't know, boy, are you missing something. Because there was prophecies of his first coming. There's a lot of prophecies about his second coming. Most people are yawning on those, just like they were yawning on the ones in the first coming. We're getting close to Jesus coming back. And when he comes back, even if we die today, you're going to be then in the future standing before God. And the prophecies told us what's going to happen. What did you do with Jesus, who was born in a manger? You're born and laid in a manger, conceived in a virgin's womb, lived a perfect life. What did you do? What did you do about that? I became like a child, humbled myself, and said, God, forgive me, a sinner. And therefore, you can have life if you do that. If you go, well, you know, so many Bibles, so many people, so many this. What about all the other roads to heaven? You know, what about that? Okay, too prideful. You're going to be blinded. You're not going to see. You're never going to epigenosko who Jesus really was. And therefore, you're too prideful to enter heaven because that's what Satan was in heaven, and he fell from heaven. And so you're going to go join him, the great rebel, the prideful angel. Nobody here would do that, right? Because it doesn't end well. Are we thankful that God so loved us, he sent Jesus? Amen. And he told us prophetically so we can know we're not just dreaming up a religion, that it's really the truth. This is really what happened. Father, we thank you for this time. Lord, we rejoice that you did so love us and gave us your son, Jesus. And help us to remember that as we, in our families, we do celebrate remembering this event of 2,000 years ago and all that you did through all of the history of man to show how incapable we are of saving ourselves, of obeying you. And just help us, Lord, to minister to those that are lost and to see that they need to get humble. And just ask for the forgiveness that you're willing to lavish on them, to humbly say and call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. And if there's anybody here that hasn't done it, I pray that you just touch their hearts right now to just even in this time to just say, God, forgive me, a sinner. I want to serve you the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and worship God in this closing song. Thank you. young believer learning that song. And it's so true. And how do we look full in His wonderful face? The Word of God. To just cuddle up with the Word of God and look full in His face, and then the things of earth grow strangely dim because we're going someplace else. The world's passing away, the lust thereof, but he that does the will of God abides forever. That's where we're headed. Keep that in your mind when we're celebrating Jesus. And as we do share gifts with one another, to remember the great gift that God gave us through His Son, Jesus. God bless you. Keep you in His care until we can fellowship again.